Let's begin. Samach, Amid Beis at the bottom. Three lines from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanan. Es kaspecho lo sitin lo b'neshech. Your money you should not give to him with interest. Uv marvis lo sitin ach lecha. And another word for interest, the more common word, is ribis, marvis. You should not give your food. So we're talking about two terms for interest and two vehicles. To medium, one of money, one of food. The two are actually quite similar. In fact, they're synonyms, really. Neshech and marbis. Neshech and ribis, the two sides of one coin. Neshech means the bite. That is the perspective of the borrower who's being bitten, so to speak, by the charge of interest. And ribis, marbis, is the increase from the perspective of the lender that he gets more than he gave. So the Brisa says, "Tanabon es kaspecha lo sitin lo neshech marbis lo sitin achlecha in the other neshech bekesef v'ribis ba'ocha." From the verse, at face value, I only have the prohibition of neshech, of one angle of ribis, the prohibition with the context of money, of a loan, v'ribis ba'ocha. And the other terminology of ribis, which is another way of describing a prohibition of charging interest, with food. So whether it's money or food, there seems to be a prohibition. But at face value, perhaps one would say the neshech, the prohibition of neshech, is limited to money. The prohibition of ribis is limited to charging for food more than the food that was given. Neshech ba'ochem anayin. How do I know that neshech applies not only to kesef, to money, but also to food? Amalomar. Neshech ochel, the verse states, neshech ochel. Meaning, if you look at the verse, it says, another verse, Dvarim, neshech kesef, neshech ochel. So we see that the prohibition of neshech does apply not only to money, neshech also applies to food. Ribis bekesef minayin, how do I know that the prohibition of ribis, the other terminology for interest, the charge of which is prohibited in this verse that we started with, by food, how do I know it applies to money as well? Tamal lomar, neshech kesef. This same verse in Dvarim clarifies neshech kesef. So you see both terminologies, neshech and ribis, are applicable to food and money. Tap of samach aleph. Meino inin the neshech kesef, shrei krad nemar. So if there is no need to derive neshech by kesef, because it is already stated, v'sashech l'achicha, you shall not literally bite to your brother. Sneu inyan l'ribis kesef. So you should use it for another novelty, that there's a prohibition of ribis by money. Einli elo bilove. The context where this prohibition is applicable is by the borrower. B'malva minayin. How do we know it applies to the lender? Ne'amar neshech b'lova, ne'amar neshech b'malva. So it says neshech by both the borrower and the lender. Ma neshech, bite of interest that is described by the borrower. Lo chalakta bo, bein b'kesef bein b'ochel. There's no differentiation whether the medium of what is being lent out is money or food. Bein b'neshech, and it doesn't matter. The prohibition of neshech and the prohibition of ribis are equally applicable. So too, when the prohibition of neshech is described by the lender, lo tachlako bo bein b'kesef bein b'ochel, bein b'neshech bein b'ribis. So too, by the lender, we're going to have this drasha neshech to tell you that also by the malve, there's no differentiation. Are sweeping across the board, whether it be money, whether it be food, whether it be the Lashon Neshech or the Lashon Ribis, Minayin L'Rabos Kol Davar, Amar Lomar Neshech Kol Davar, Asher Yishach. The Pasuk says that in fact it's any type of interest charge, not only money and not only food, but any medium that what is being given out as a loan. If more is being charged, that's going to be subject to the same prohibition. Called over. Let's catch up in Rashi's. Tamil Omar. bottom of Samach and Beis. L'sashech l'achicha neshech ochel, mikazeh below v'nemar. The verse is describing from the perspective of the borrower that one is not allowed to charge his brother the bite of interest. Ne'amar, by lo v'ne'amar, medelok siv lo sashech l'achicha. So it's not talking about from the perspective of the lender. Barisha ne'amar b'malveh, the first verse is describing from the perspective of the lender. Til siv le'el, as it said earlier, m'nei, al tikach meito v'gomer. Do not take from him. So we're talking about from the lender's perspective. For our purposes, we are deriving the terminology of neshech, the prohibition of this type of interest, of the bite, through the medium of food. Tap of Samach Aleph and Rashi, which is really shayach, the Samach Aleph Beis. Ribbis v'kesef minayin. How do we know that there is a prohibition of ribbis, the increase within a loan of money? She'over alav sheni shel ribbis, that he's in violation of a second prohibition of ribbis besides the neshech. Tamaloma, also shayach to Samach Aleph Beis. Belove, belov nefshech kesef im ein or inyan legufo l'chayvo alav shel neshech. If somebody lends money with interest, so it's not necessary for it itself to say that he's over, he is in violation of the prohibition of Nesha, Sherekva Ne'amar, Rosh HaMikra, it's already stated in the beginning of the verse, Usashech, V'sofo Ne'amar, Kol Dovar Asher Yishach, the end of the verse says, any matter that he shall bite with, Tzneo Inyan L'Ribbis, Kasef, so use this seemingly extra phraseology to teach you that there's a prohibition of ribbis applicable to money. V'hashta d'shamina milosashech bein kesef bein ochel. And now that we've learned from losashech, there's an equal prohibition both by money and food. Iatru tavayo neshech kesef neshech ochel. You have the superfluous description of a prohibition both of neshech, that type of interest by money, and neshech of ochel, l'chai v'salove, alav shel ribbis, alshneh, to tell you that the borrower is in violation for paying the interest for both a loan of money, for both a loan of food. He's going to be in violation of neshech both ways. So perhaps it's only applicable to the borrower, and therefore the additional Limud is coming to teach you that it applies actually also to the malveh, that the lender as well is going to be in violation across the board. Neshech, ribbis, kesef, and ochel. Back to the Gemara. Ravina Amar, lo neshech ochel, v'lo ribbis v'kesef tzrich yikra. Ravina says it's not necessary to describe the prohibition of neshech by food and ribbis by money. You don't need the verse to specify. D'i siv es kaspecha lo tzitin lo b'neshech v'ochlecha lo sitin b'marvitz, the Bach modifies, hidika amres. Hashtad siv es kaspecha lo sitin lo b'neshech u'b'marvitz lo sitin ochlecha kari bei ochi es kaspecha lo sitin lo b'neshech u'b'marvitz b'neshech u'b'marvitz lo sitin ochlecha. The way the verse is written puts together neshech and marvitz in the middle of the verse in a way that lends itself to being front-heavy or back-heavy. You can connect it, you can read it, depending on where you put the comma, either way. So Ravina is saying, seemingly, against the previous limud, that you can just learn neshech and marbis either by kesef or by achlecha, by either by your money or your food. Neshech and marbis, both phrases, both descriptions of an interest charge, of the bite or the increase, which are both prohibited, can be either linked to the money or the food. So according to Ravina, there's no need for other derivation. From the verse itself, you should be able to derive that it's applicable to both. V'ha tana ne'amar ne'amar kamar. But a tana is the one who says, we just saw earlier, that it says, ha'neshech below v'ne'amar neshech b'malve. We have a limud that is not straight from the one verse. So how can Ravina argue on the Tano? Ravina's not Mara. This is what is being said. This is a modification of the understanding of the Braisa. Had it not been spoken out in the verse, I would say Gzer Shava. I would derive it from Nemar Nemar, but in fact it's not necessary. But now that it is derived from the verse straight, there's no need for Gzer Shava. El Gzer Shava Lamali. So why do I use the Gzer Shava? What is it actually contributing? This similar phraseology. L'neshech kol davar asher yishach. To teach you that the prohibition of neshech, beyond money, beyond food, applies to everything. The lo kasuv of malvet, since that is not spoken out by the malvet, spoken out from the perspective of the borrower, not the lender. So the Gzer Shava is coming to tell you that also this sweeping restriction applies from the perspective of the lender. So that's what the Gzer Shava is doing. Tzi Rashi, Ravina Amar lo neshech ve'ochav lo v'ribis, the kesef tzrich yikra, migmar b'malve, min halove, debeguf oksivi k'nfarsho azo. Ravina says there is no need to learn out by the lender from the borrower, because it's, strictly speaking, derived from the verse. Just because kesef and because neshech and ribis are spoken out in the middle of the verse, you can tilt them towards the front or towards the back of the verse, both to kesef and ochel. As we said, that the prohibition of neshech, the bite, goes on money, and the prohibition of marbis, of ribis, goes on food. How does Ravina square away with the Tana of the Braisa? Mixer Shava Nafkale, that the Tana seems to learn it out from Mixer Shava. Behechi Polig Amura Atana. How do you have Ravina as an Amura arguing on the Tana of the Braisa? But Amma Dimagufiale. Ravina says you learn it straight out from the verse. You don't need Gzer Shava. Hachi Kama. This is what is being said. Tana by the Braisa. Ilu Lanemakra. Had it not been for the verse. Bederach Hanishma Lishneim. In a manner that would be implied for both of them. Aval Pikain. Aisi Lomdo Mixer Shava. I would nonetheless derive it from Gzer Shava. The hashtag Gzer Shava, now, there is no need for the Gzer Shava for that, because it's derived from the verse straight. Lamali, labiribis. Oh, that's right. Okay. So, the purpose of the Gzer Shava is to teach you that the prohibition Neshech Koldavar applies not only to the borrower, but to the lender as well. In the Gemara, Amar Rav, Lamali de Kosav Rachmana, labiribis, lav begezel. Lav be'ona. Why does the Torah need to say a prohibition of interest and a prohibition of theft and a prohibition of overcharging or undercharging? Either way is included in ona. One party is gouging the other. I need all three prohibitions to be described in the Torah. Rashi says, what's the question? Lomali lav beribis lav begezel chulu. Ilmud zemizeh. Why not learn one from the other? Shebekulon chisarn mamon. All of them have the taking away of money. Each one is taking away his friend's money. All of these three prohibitions. Ribis is interest, taking away his friend's money. Gezel is theft, taking away his friend's money. And oh no, overcharging, taking away his friend's money. Tzrichi is necessary. You do need all three lavin, three prohibitions to be specified. Because if the Torah would have only described the prohibition of interest, I wouldn't have learned anything else from it, because it is a novelty. What's the novelty? Something unique by ribis. That the prohibition also goes on the love. The borrower who is being victimized over here is also subject to the prohibition. So that's unique by ribis. You don't have by the other prohibitions where there's a victim who's losing his money and he's also in violation. If somebody's stolen from, he didn't do anything wrong. Don't victim blame. But over here, by the Lova, you're victim blaming. You're saying, yes, he is being charged interest and he is being blamed. He's going to have to be accountable for engaging in this predatory loan as the borrower. So that is unique. It's a chiddush.
Can I ask you?
Please.
So So somebody, I don't know, loans money, charges a lot of interest. But what I think I'm hearing is the borrower that agrees to that excessive interest or whatever, that's also prohibited for him to even enter into such an agreement.
Right? That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the novelty of the prohibition of ribbis. Here's the Rambam that describes it in the beginning of the fourth chapter of Malvalova, borrower and lender, or lender and borrower. Neshech v'tarbis echad hu. These two phraseologies, the bite and the increase, two sides of one coin of interest, they're really one. Shnei maskas b'chol losuitin lo v'neshech v'marbis losuitin ochlecho. And why is it called a bite? He is like a biter, that he's bothering, causing pain to his friend. Very graphic description of a predatory loan. Quite a visceral description. Why does the Torah divide these two prohibitions? Even though really it's one, it's being divided in order to give two counts that the violation of both Neshech and Marbis are being violated. One who engages in this predatory loan where there's interest being charged. So he's going to have two counts, two separate prohibitions. Just as it's prohibited for the lender to give his money at interest. So, too, it is prohibited for the recipient, the borrower, to accept a loan with interest. We have a tradition that this verse is describing a prohibition that applies to the borrower. As if to say, do not be bitten by your brother. And similarly, have a broader prohibition to be involved. Between the two parties, whether it be the borrower or lender, that's not the extent of the prohibition, but even in a broader context, anybody who is not only the borrower and lender, but also somebody who's a guarantor or the scribe drawing up the document or a witness, between the borrower and the lender on this illegal transaction. All of these parties are in violation of a prohibition. Do not place upon him this bite. This is a warning even for the witnesses and for the guarantor as well as the scribe. So you know the ultimate lender with interest is in violation of six prohibitions. Six counts. The borrower is in violation of two counts. Lo sashik lechicha, do not be bitten by your brother. And do not place a stumbling block before the blind. Both the lender and borrower need their counterparty to engage in this prohibition. Each one is causing their fellow to stumble, the blind one to stumble. Each one has that on their list. So lender is in violation, again, of six, borrower of two prohibitions, biblical prohibitions. Arba edim kiyotzeben, the guarantor, witnesses, and those that are involved. Ein ovrin elam shumlos simon olav neshech. They are only in violation of do not place upon him this interest, this bite. Komi shu sarser ben shnein, anybody who is a loan broker between the two parties. O shesia echad mehen. Oh, over mishum l'fnei ivilus mechshol. Somebody who's involved in facilitating this deal is also going to be in violation of not placing a stumbling block before the blind. So it's a very wide net who is implicated in this prohibition, and that's the chiddush here. The chiddush of ribbis, the novelty of interest, is that it is not only the one who is charging usurious interest rates, who is taking the bite that is in violation, that would be parallel to gezel, to theft, to onah, to overcharging. But even the victim is in violation. So that's a novelty here. That's a chiddush. Because Rachmana lav the Gaza, and if the Torah would have written a prohibition by theft, Shalom de Bal Korche, I would have said that that prohibition is unique because it is against the will of the victim. The victim did not consent to be stolen from. That's definitional of being a victim of theft. But by Ona, there's overcharging, but the parties agreed to this transaction. It was not against his will. Similarly, interest. An interest charge, both lender and borrower are both on board with this transaction. So those cannot be derived from Gezel, which is against the will of the victim. The robber is taking without the consent of the one who is being stolen from. Because of Rachmana la be'ona, and if the Torah would have written just the prohibition of gouging, mishum de lo yada de machil, so that's unique. There, the one who is being overcharged didn't know, and that's why he was forgiving of this misalignment between the transaction and the price. That is not applicable to either Gazel or to Ribbis. So Gemara says, chado mechado lo asya. It's true. You cannot learn out one prohibition from one prohibition, or certainly between these three. We cannot take a derivation from any one of the three to expand it to the other two. Tesi chado metati. Now we'll try to derive one from two. So we're setting our sights lower. Instead of saying we have three prohibitions that all are taking away another person's money, let's just say one and know the other two. We've backed off of that. And we're saying more modestly, let's just have two. And from the two, we'll derive the third. Why don't we try that? Hi, Tesi. Lo lichta brachmana lav beribis. Tesi mahana. Let us suggest that the Torah should not write the prohibition of interest and learn out from the other two. Derive that the prohibition of interest charging is learned out because we have two other prohibitions. Theft is prohibited, gazel, as well as ona, as well as gouging. The gouging and theft. If Shalom Das, Toma beribis dimidaiti. So we cannot derive from those two ribis, the interest charging, because by interest charging, the borrower and lender are both fully aware of what's going on. There's no lack of information here. There's no lack of consent. So you shouldn't be able to derive ribis, which is in a certain sense more lenient, you'd think, because everybody's on board. Everybody knows what's going on. There's no missing information or missing consent. So therefore, those two cannot, the two of Gezel and Ona, cannot be a source for deriving the Isra of Ribis. Okay, let's try another way. Let the Torah not write the prohibition of gouging, and we'll learn from the other two. We'll learn from the prohibition of theft and the prohibition of interest that one is not allowed to charge. Oh no, not allowed to gouge. Ma lahanach shekein ein derech mekach memka. And just as those two, the prohibition of theft and the prohibition of interest charging, are not included in mekach memkar, in buying and selling, in transactions of acquisition, so we can't necessarily derive ona, because ona, prohibition of overcharging, of gouging, is within the framework of mekach memkar. So gezel is not mekach memkar, ribis is not mekach memkar. So we would not be able to necessarily extend this prohibition of taking another person's money to a case of mekach memkar, where it's done in the framework of a purchase and sale. Ela lo lichta brachmana lav begezel. Rather, we have a third option. Let the Torah omit the prohibition of theft, the tesei mehana, and derive the prohibition of theft from the other two, from the prohibition of gouging and the prohibition of interest charging. Let us derive from those two that there is a prohibition of the ma'i parachta. What was your objection, the pircha? Ma'la ribis shekein chidish. Just as interest is unique. So that was something that we held back from using that as a derivation for other prohibitions. Charging interest is unique, as we said before, in that the borrower is also in violation. So he is being victimized. The money is being taken from him. So now when we have two providing a basis for the third, we have onah to buttress the claim that we should extend it. Onah, the prohibition of gouging, shall prove that that chiddush is not necessary for the prohibition, where money is being taken away illicitly from his counterparty. That's not necessary for the prohibition. The chiddush of ribis is not necessary for a lav. We learn that from Ono. Ono will prove that Ma'ona shekein lo yado machil, just as by Ono, he didn't know there's a lack of information and the gouging was accepted due to that. So you have the prohibition of Ono, where that's the weakness. This will prove to you that that's not necessary, that in a case of interest being charged, all the facts are on the table. Everybody knows what's going on. There's no deception in any manner. And yet the Torah prohibited ribis. So I will not limit it to ona or to ribis, which has the chiddush. Kozer din lo rizek rizeh, lo rizek rizeh. And we can strip away the unique aspects of the prohibition of interest charging as well as price gouging. Atzad ha-shava b'shebahen, what is the common denominator of these two prohibitions? Shekein gozel, that he is taking another person's money in an illicit fashion. Afani avi gezel. So let us include a new prohibition of gezel. Derive from the two, the third. Derive from the prohibition of onah and from the prohibition of ribis, that there is a third prohibition of gezel. So that's the Gemara on its more modest derivation. Learn the third from the two that the Gemara is happy with. Amrei Chinami. Gemara is suffering with that. That is a legitimate derivation for gezel. Let's see Rashi. Lama li la beribis la begezel chulu. Yilmudu ze mizeh. Why do we need the prohibitions of all three? Let them be derived one from the other. Shebichulon chsar maman. All of them have a theme that there is a taking away of money. Shemachasir eschavir. He's taking away from his friend. Afilu belova asrachmana, the chiddush, the unique element applicable to ribis, is that the borrower is also subject to the prohibition. The gazer lov shelo yitnenu, and the Torah decreed upon him that he should not give the ribis. He should not give the interest charge. Viklamei mar chiddushu, another approach is to say that the novelty is shechidcha Torah bezu. What is the novelty that the Torah tells us by interest? That over here, in this unique case of ribis, is the prohibition of taking away from the counterparty, from the borrower. But perhaps it's telling you dafka by ribis and not more broadly. Not any type of dafka in the context, the fact that the prohibition applies to the loveh, to the borrower, is telling you that the borrower is not losing. He is consenting to this loss, and he's not allowed to pay it. So when he pays the interest, and he is in violation of the prohibition, so you see that the prohibition is not restricted to taking money away, because when he's taking away from himself, that's not necessarily to be viewed as taking away money from one's friend. Of course, he's his own friend, but he's giving money away and he's subject to the prohibition. So it's not taking money away. What that is applicable to these that are not with consent? The two prohibitions of onah and gezel, of gouging and stealing, there's a lack of dats. There's a lack of consent, of informed consent. The one who is being overcharged doesn't know. He's being ripped off. And by stealing, so the one who steals from him is taking against the will of the victim. Both cases, there's a lack of dats. Toma beribis, dimidaito, no simo. So you cannot derived from those two, the prohibition of ribis, because by ribis, by charging interest or paying interest, there is consent. Each party is knowingly walking into this deal. Nobody's pushing either side. They're both very happy about it. And therefore, you cannot derive ribis from the other two. Shekein ein derech mekach memkar. The two prohibitions of gezel and ribis are not included in mekach memkar. They're not within the framework of buying and selling, unlike onah, gouging. Tomer be'onah, say by gouging, shehi derech mekach memkar. That is in the framework. Gouging is within the framework of buying and selling. And there are people that need this object. And they buy it for more than its value. So even though there's a market value, and this is above market value, sometimes a person has a need for something, and he wants to buy it at a higher price than its market value. His need for the object is greater, and therefore he is resigning himself to this overcharging. He's going to pay extra because he really wants it. He has a big need for this object. He's desperate. So it's within the framework of mekach u'memkar, of buying and selling. Masha enkein, which is not so, by stealing and by ribis, which is interesting, that ribis is essentially renting money. And that's not considered mekach u'memkar, meaning the gap is not so great. Mekach u'memkar is buying and selling. But renting, essentially, is considered a separate category, and it's not within the framework of mekach memkar. Tarbir, a little bit, why we're viewing this as such a hard distinction, because the way Rashi explains the yesod of mekach memkar, buying and selling, is that there is a, although there's advantage being taken here, it's within the framework where the person who is being overcharged is resigning himself to that. He's accepting of it because he actually needs this object desperately, and he's willing to buy it for more than the market value. So the ripoff is, although illicit, within the framework of buying and selling. Why is that so distinct from the renting of money, where the borrower perhaps is willing, he's desperate from the money? Why don't you say that it's similar? Yes, it's only rental, it's not purchase or sale, but in any event, that is this differentiation that the Gemara is saying, that dafka ona is derech mekach u'memkar, gouging is within the framework of buying and selling, which has an element, an outer bound of plausibility that apparently is not applicable to the rental of money, of ribis. Lo lichtov begezel teis mehano. That's the third recommendation that the Gemara settles on. Don't write the prohibition, let the Torah omit the prohibition of theft and derive it from the other two, from overcharging and from gouging and from ribis, from interest charging. Learn gezel from those two. Ichi parata mala ribis, that which you have a knockoff. That ribis, shekein chidish, that interest charging is a novelty. As we said, it applies to the borrower as well. Tomar begezel. So gezel shows you, well, say that that should exclude gezel. By gezel, the victim of theft is certainly not in violation of any prohibition. So even though that would lead you to say gezel should not be recognized as a prohibition, Ona tells us that gezel should not be excluded. The prohibition of overcharging, of gouging. Ma le'ona shekein lo yado mochil. Just as Ona, he doesn't know and forgives the one who is being gouged, Tomar begezel, diyodo. So don't think that that unique factor applicable to the victimization by gouging is necessary for the prohibition of this taking money to the detriment of one's friend. We see by gezel that he knows, diyodo. So he's well aware of what's going on, the victim of the theft. And it's potentially plausible that he will even have yush. He's going to give up hope of ever getting it back. And he could also forgive the stealing. That does not undermine the prohibition of gezel. So don't think that that's a unique factor of ona. Ribis tochiach. Ribis is a proof. Ribis, the charging of interest, is something that he's he's well aware of. There's nothing going on against his will in any way. The borrower is fully consenting to pay the interest. So you see that that's not fundamental to the prohibition of taking money. And therefore, we should be able to derive the tzadashava, the common denominator, tzadashava shebehen, what is broadly applicable to each case of both ona and ribis, shemechasre moment, that he is taking away money from his fellow, afani avigazel. Therefore, I will also include the third prohibition of stealing, that one who steals will also be in violation of an iser. Without it being written down explicitly in the Torah, derived from ona and ribis, the gezel is also prohibited. Back to the Gemara. Amri hachinami. Gemara is satisfied with this suggestion. Ela lav begezel lamali. So then why does the Torah need to write gezel? There is a prohibition written by theft. The kovish schar sochim. That is to create a prohibition for one who holds back the wage of his hired hand. Rashi says, "Delo matali yode, velo metzale." Since the wage never came to the worker's hand, he just didn't pay him. He owes him money. He hired him. He had him work. He just didn't pay him. So gezel is needed to include the one who holds back the wage. So in the case of holding back the wage, he's not actually taking away from him. In the previous discussion, the cases of all these three, deriving the third from the two, it's all mechasrei mamon. It's taking away from his friend. But in the case of holding back a wage, the friend's labor was extracted without payment, but he didn't take away money from him. He's just holding back the wage. So therefore, gezel is telling you that kovish tachasachi, holding back the wage for his worker, that is a violation of gezel. Why do I need to say it's derived from the generalized prohibition of gezel? It's explicitly stated. We have the Torah describing that very case. Lo sashech lachicha, lo sasho sachir. Do not hold back the wage from your hired hand. Ani ve'evyon, the poor and destitute. So that's already a separate explicit prohibition. The written prohibition of gezel that could have been derived from the tzadashava of both ribis and onah, the reason it's written is to tell you that in the case of kovish, socher socher, to holding back the wage of the person he hired, he's going to be in violation of two lavin. He's in violation of gezel that was written seemingly superfluous, as well as the explicit prohibition of oshek, of not holding back the wage for his hired hand. Vilukma beribis veona, and why not establish it by ribis and ona, by charging interest and gouging, lavala bishne lavin, and say, once you're saying that there's two lavin, why not say there are two lavin for those? Why is gezel written when it could have been derived from ribis and ona? You're saying that the answer of why gezel is written is to tell you lavala bishne lavin, to be in violation of two counts. So say that it's applicable to ona and ribis, to have two counts there. We don't say that. We said to have two counts of oshek, of holding back the wage from the hired hand. My answer is davalam admenyano, that the exposition where to place the second prohibition is contextual. We learned it out from the context. Binyana desach eksiv, and in the context of the hired hand is where it's written. Lo signovu, the prohibition of stealing. The kasa of rachmana lamali. That's vital. So binyana desacher ksiv. Rashi says lav de gezel. The prohibition of gezel. Where is it written? In the context lo sashok lo sigzo kol oshek kavishas schar sacheru. So since the prohibition of gezel is written in the context of holding back the wage from the person you hired, so that's where we say there's a second lav, as opposed to ribis anona. Lo signovu kos rachmana lamali. The prohibition, lo signovu, that the Torah write, why was it necessary? Rashi says, leilif mi ribis veona. Why don't we derive, instead of having the Torah write, lo signovu, learn from ribis anona, share, nechasre amamin. Just like we said by gezel. Why don't we say the same thing by gneva? Lo signovu The sensitivity is low. We're not asking about the low signal of the Decalogue. That's not a shaila. That is a warning against kidnapping. Now, I'm Sanhedrin, that it's talking about a capital case, and that's kidnapping. So that's not the discussion here. We're talking about stealing money, so theft as opposed to robbery, stealing in a clandestine manner. Why don't we learn that out? Since he's taking away mammon, taking away money from his friend. It's out of shava of ribis and ona. So the Gemara says, the Kidatanya, the reason why lo signovu was written is in accordance with a braisa, was taught in a braisa, lo signovu, a mas lemekat. One is not allowed to steal, to engage in theft, even with intention to just bother one's friend. Rashi says, litzair, to cause him pain. Just playing a practical joke on him. Lo signovu, a mas leshalim, tashlam kefo. And as well, the braisa continues, the prohibition, lo signovu, you're not allowed to steal from him, even with intentions to pay double. So mas leshalim, tashlam kefo, Rashi says, shirotze leha, lehanoso, viyodabo, shalik habel. He really has a very clever plan over here. He says, I want to give my friend a gift. I know he's not going to accept my gift. So how can I give him a gift? I'll steal something from him, get caught. Because if he admits it, he doesn't have to pay kefil. I'll get caught, make sure that I leave my fingerprints, have the camera, the ring camera watching, make sure there are witnesses, whatever it is, get caught. And of course, in a way that it's gneva, not gezel. And fine. So then when he has to pay, the court is going to mandate that he has to pay kefil, double for the fine. And now he's going to get his wish. He wanted to give his friend a present. And this is the only way he can get his friend to accept the present. So even though he has the most noble intentions, so he's kind of like a clever Robin Hood to steal from him to give him. Okay. Still, it's prohibited. That's why the Torah says, lo signovu, that even when there are alternate reasons and the intention of the taking of money from his friend is not to actually take away the money intentions, either he's just trying to be mitzarim, he's just trying to give him a hard time, but he's going to give it back to him. He doesn't really intend to take it to keep, or the intention is to pay him double. Nonetheless, he is in violation. Either way, whatever his intention is, of lo signovu, he has in fact stolen. So the Braisa is telling us these chidushim, and that's why it needs to be written. You would not derive that from the Tzadah Shavah of Ona. And Amar Le Rav Yemar Le Rav Ashi, Lav Dekaz Rav Mada Mishkalos Lamli. Rav Yemar said to Rav Ashi, the prohibition that the Torah delineates concerning weights and measures, why is it written? Amar Le Letomen Mishkalosov B'melech. The prohibition is inclusive of one who buries his weights and measures, or his scale, in salt. And then, let's see, Rashi, Lav de Mishkolos, Losaso Avil, do not commit this travesty. The Tomer Mishkolos, to one who buries his scales, Amona O Aparas, Tomen B'melach, L'Arbido. By burying it in salt, he's going to make it heavier. Ukeshalokeach, B'Mishkol, Lokeach. And when he buys, he's going to pull out this scale to buy with these. So, why is that necessary? Why did the Sarah have to speak this out? It's Gezel, Hainu Gezel Ma'alyo. Ooh. It's just a specific form of Gezel, but it should be included in the prohibition of Gezel. Lava lov mishasasiya. So he answered, Rav Ashi explained, that the prohibition is already from setting up this scale by bearing it in salt for this to create this travesty. He's already in violation before he even steals anything. He's just creating the tool to steal. So that's already the prohibition of the lav of Mishkalos, of his creating this false measure. Tan Rabbanon, lo sasu ava b'mishpat, b'bind of Mishkal Meser, b'braisa, that the sages taught, one is not allowed to engage in this travesty. B'mishpat, mido Mishkal, do not measure for one in the summer and one in the winter. See Rashi. Achin, two brothers, or multiple brothers that are coming to divide up their field, an inheritance. The one who is measuring, the surveyor, should not measure for one in the summer lechet mevus geshamim, and for the other one in the winter, using the same rope to make a measurement. Because in the winter, the rope is moist. Mispashet kol tzarko, and it will be stretched out fully. Mitoch yosho, in the summer, in contrast, because it's drier, so hu nigmad v'kavitz, it will be shorter and restrained because it has less moisture, so the rope is not going to stretch out quite as much, and the measure is not going to be equal. So if you measure, so using the same rope for one measure of the property in the summer and one in the winter, the guy who's getting measured in the summer is going to actually be measured short. He's going to be losing out. So that's a method of stealing, essentially, with medida, with measuring it. B'mishkal, how by a scale? Shelo yatmim mishkloso b'melach, as I said before, to not bury his scales in salt. B'msero, with a measure. Shelo yatiach, that he should not boil or agitate. Rashi says, b'msero midas alachi, it's a liquid measure. Yatiach, eskuma, scum, belaz, shemales amido, the agitation will fill up the measure. You have a liquid measure, and if you agitate the contents before filling it up, so you're going to be filling it up with some air. Kishemotzi es hayayin, when you take out the wine, if you shook it up first, and only later after it settles, will it come out that the measure is lacking. So it's an artificial filling of this liquid measure by being matiach, by agitating it. That is also a violation of stealing. And we have a kal v'chomer. Priori logic here, ma nesera, she echad v'shloshim. The different gersos, the nesera, this liquid measure, how much is being skimmed, so to speak, by shaking it up, by agitating it, and then giving him the scum to fill the measure, or the air bubbles. That's 1 in 30, or another gersa, so 1 in 33, or 1 in 36, different gersos, belug. Ikpida lav tera, a small component of the lug that is being stolen, and the tera is makbid, it's a violation of the tera law. Habachom lehin, machatzi hin, shlishos hin, all the more so for larger measures, for a hin, half hin, or a third of a hin, revius hin, a quarter of a hin, lug, vachetzi lug, revius a lug, all these measures that are much bigger, of course the tera is going to be, and there'll be a violation if somebody steals to a greater degree. So that's lachera. It's dvarim shutim, meaning what does it matter what the amount is? The fact that the Gemara presents it as a kal v'chomer seems to indicate that the quantity of what is being stolen matters. It's not irrelevant. We don't say whether he stole a penny or stole a billion. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It's a kal v'chomer. And the Torah is makbid on the smallest amount. All the more so is the Torah warning and telling us not to take another's property in a larger amount. But it is actually a greater, more egregious sin to take more. Don't just say, stealing is stealing. It's not the same. A bigger heist is a worse heist. Amar Rav, Lomalei de Kasra Chonai, Tzius Mitzrayim, Beribis, Tzius Mitzrayim, Gabi Tzitzis, Tzius Mitzrayim, Bemishkolos. Rav said, why does the Torah write the exodus, the leaving of Egypt, in the context of not charging interest, the Yetzias Mitzrayim in the context of tzitzis, of the garment with the strings on it, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mishkolos, and why is Yetzias Mitzrayim brought in the exodus described in Weights and Measures? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, why is it mentioned by these three? The Holy One, blessed be He, said, Ani hu shivchanti Mitzrayim, I'm the one that discerned in Egypt, to the one born as a firstborn, to one who's not born as a firstborn. So from the father, this is very discerning. It's not just from the mother, but from the father. This is the divine eye, so to speak, very discerning. I am the one who will take his due, meaning to require payment, punishment from me, shetolim osa benachri, from somebody who presents his money as being the money of a non-Jew, and then lends them out to a Jew. biribis, for interest. So he's charging an interest chard and presenting it as though it is non-Jewish money. So he will also be subject to the punishment of charging ribis. Umimi shetome mishkozim melch, and as well from the one who buries his weights and measures, his scale in salt. Umimi shetole kali umbigdom. As well, God will exact judgment from the one who puts indigo into his string to make his tzitzis, his garment, his talis, whatever it might be. The indigo looks like tchelis, but it's not tchelis. He says that it's tchelis. So the same one, why is it said Yetzias Mitzrayim? All of these things that are deceptive, only the one who's committing the violation can discern this. God will also discern and seek retribution from the one who engages in these violations. Ravina ikla l'sura de paras. Ravina went to Surah of Paras. It was on the Euphrates, not to be confused with Stam Surah, a different city in Babylonia. Amalei Rav Chanina, Misur de Paras, Ravina. Rav Chanina from Surah de Paras said to Ravina, Yetzias Mitzrayim de Kasa Rachmana Gabe Shrotzim Lamalei. Why is Yetzias Mitzrayim written in the context of the prohibition against eating shrotzim, of prohibited creepy crawlies? Amalei, he responded, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, Ani hu, I am the one, Shekhanti ben Tipa Shabachar, the Tipa She'ena Shabachar, who has this discerning appreciation, who is really a Bechar of his father, and who is not a Bechar, not a firstborn of his father. Ani also Liparim mi, Shema'arev, the one who will take vengeance, who will exact judgment from one who mixes up together the innards of fish that are Tmeim, non-kosher fish, with the innards of kosher fish, and sells them to a Jew. So he's mixing them up. Included in these fish innards are non-kosher fish innards. He's selling to the Jew as kosher. So one can't tell from the innards which fish it came from. And God knows, God will discern, and God will punish. Amar lei, ana hamale kakashim. Says that I understand. Makasha wasn't Bechlal, in a general sense, why is there a juxtaposition of the prohibition of Shratzim with Yetzias Mitzrayim? I had a different question. My question was, why does it say Hamale, one who elevated? It doesn't say Yetzias Mitzrayim by the prohibition of Shratzim. It says Hamale, who elevated the Jews out of Egypt. So that, he responded, that was in accordance with the teaching in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, as was taught in the house of Rabbi Shmuel, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, Il mole helesis Israel nemitraim. If I only took out the children of Israel from Egypt, El bishvil davarzeh, only for one thing, for this matter, she'ein metamin bishrotzim, that they do not defile themselves by the consumption of shrotzim, of these creepy crawlies, die, it would be enough for me. This is an elevation for them. Amalei. So that's why it says, Lashon Allah, Male, one who elevates. It's an elevation for the Jewish people to not eat these creepy crawlies. Amalei, umi nafi shagrayo, tfeim ribis, umitzitzis mishkolos. And is it a greater reward than the violation of ribis, or tzitzis, or mishkolos that we have also, as we mentioned before, all three are said in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there it doesn't say Loshon Hamale, who elevates. Amalei, Abagav delo nafshigrayim, says no, even though it's not a greater reward, abstaining from eating shrotzim is not a greater reward than abstaining from ribis, or stealing mishkolos, or from putting in the kala ilon by tzitzis. It's not a greater reward per se, but Abagav delo nafshigrayim, it is more disgusting to consume shrotzim. So there is an elevation by abstaining from including these bugs, these creepy crawly creatures from one's diet. That elevates a person to not engage in this disgusting component that could be part of the diet. That is more elevating than these other than abstaining from these other prohibitions. But it is not a greater reward. It says Hamala, that who elevates, God elevated us by Yetzias Mitzrayim by commanding us in this regard to abstain from consuming these creepy crawlies from our diet. But it's not that it's a greater reward. That is not the case. It's an elevation. See Rashi. Yitzis Mitzrayim Gabi Ribis, Parshas Bahar Sinai, and Parshas Bahar is where it describes Yitzis Mitzrayim, the Exodus, in the context of charging interest. Gabi Mishkalos, Ketoshim Tio, concerning the prohibition of faulty weights and measures, scales, that is described in Parshas Kedoshim, with the context of Yitzis Mitzrayim, the Exodus. Shivchanti Mitzrayim, that I was discerning in Egypt, behold, in Egypt, not known for their particularly chaste behavior, you had 10 single men that each had relations with one mitzris, one female mitzris, Ms. Abramahan, the Eseburin, and she had 10 children from them. Esebacharis, they are all 10 considered firstborns. Shemacharis, Shalavian, they're the firstborn of their father. Kulan, Mesa. All 10 of them died. The woman has 10 children. All 10 die. Say, hey, she should have one firstborn. No, she has 10 firstborns. Tolim Osa Benachri, the deception of presenting his money as being owned by a non-Jew. Malvim Osa Yisrael, and he lends out his money to a Jew. Beribis, for interest. And he says that he's lending out a non-Jewish person's money. Kala Elon, the indigo. Tseva Adomotrelis, it's a cover, a color that is similar to Tcheles, Rahmana Amar, seal Tcheles. The Torah required that it be a string made with the dye of Tcheles. So the wool string must have Tcheles color. Tcheles Dom of Yikarim, and it's very expensive to actually use genuine Tcheles. It's derived from the dyeing using the blood of the Chilos. It only ascends from the ocean once in 70 years, a very rarefied catch. So it's hard to get real Tcheles. And indigo is very easy, cheap, so it's an easy knockoff. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who discerns between Bechar and the Pashat, will discern the one who is engaging in this fraud. Tosas says, Shetola Kala Ilan Bibigdo, Be'omet Tchelesu, who places the indigo in his garment and says that it's genuine Tcheles. Aval Gav De Over on Mitzvah Tzitzis, even though he's in violation of the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, Mikol Mokom Itzrich Kra La'arvelo Mishas Tliya. Nonetheless, the verse is necessary to tell you that he's in violation already from the time which he already places this fake knockoff trellis, the indigo, inside the garment. That already is when he's in violation. So it's not just that he's not doing trellis, but already when he makes this fake tzitzis with a fake trellis, he's already in violation. Similar to what we said before by the Mishkan. As soon as he buries his scale in salt and modifies it away from being an accurate measure, he's already in violation. So too, over here, he's already in violation. Sura de Paras, Sura Yosheva Sanar Paras, Ve'enza Sura Stam. This is a Sura, sister city, to the main Sura, but it's not Stam Sura. It's on the Euphrates River, as opposed to the main Sura, which is not on the Euphrates. Gabi Shratzim, concerning the prohibition of eating these creepy crawlies, he Bayom HaShmini, mentioned in Parsha Shmini, Kinei Hashem, Ma'ale Eschem Me'aretz Mitzrayim, for I am the Lord who brings you up from the land of Egypt. El B'Shei Levzeh, as we said, taught in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, if only for this matter, Kinefarsh L'Kamei Shehein Mu'ulim B'Noim, the Jewish people are elevated and beautified, Ve'enon Nimosin B'Shkatzim Alot, and they are not made disgusting by including these disgusting creatures in their diet. That's why the Torah writes it here specifically in a phraseology of ascent. This is a matter of greatness for the Jewish people that they have this elevated diet, that they're not eating shratzim. Back in the Gemara. Ezu ribis, ezu, what is tarbis? The one who increases by peres, so he's giving out fruits and charging extra. Ketzad, lo kechemenu chitim b'dinerzav. The Mishnah says, what's the case? That if he made an acquisition of chitim, a certain amount of chitim, for a dinner zav, which is a dinner made out of gold, which is 25 of silver, and then the price changes. Article hani damrinan ad hashta lab ribisu. Is that to say that until now, in the previous part of the Mishnah, talking about money, that's not ribis? Amar Rabbi Yavo ad kan shel Torah. Bibo says no. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about a Doraisa level. The subsequent cases when market forces change and the prices fluctuated and it came out that there was a shift, but it was not prefixed in the transaction, in the loan. So that's going to be midrabanan, and only before when it's ribitz ketusa, that's a reisa. Chen amar Rava, and so said Rava, ad kan shel Torah mikan ve'el shel devarim, until this point is daraisa, ribitz from the Torah, and from this point on, the second part of the Mishnah is ribitz derabanan. Ad kan yachin rasha avil b'shtadik, till this point, we say that the wicked will prepare, and the righteous will don the garment. Ad kan v'sulo, until this point and not further, meaning, is that only true for the first part of ribis deraisa and not for avak ribis or ribis derabanan? That doesn't make sense. Ela afilu adkan yochin rasha vilbash tzadik. It means even until this point, even by ribis deraisa, will you say that the wicked one who engaged in the biblical violation of charging interest, he did that, and vilbash tzadik, the one who is righteous, will don the garment prepared by the wicked, the son is not subject to the obligation to pay back, even by ribis ksutza. Ad kan ribis ksutza, and kan ve'elech avak ribis. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about ribis ksutza, and that's ribis that was built into this agreement, the loan from the beginning. There's a set amount that was given, and more needed to be paid back. That's the biblical violation. And the subsequent part is avak ribis, where even if it was anticipated, it was not baked into the agreement. Let's see, Rashi. Ad ashta mavasela b'chmisha dinar shel Torah derech hava, as a loan, is a biblical violation of ribis. Ad kan yochin rasha vilbash tzadik she'im meis v'nech lebono of mo'os shel ribis. If somebody who engaged in these serious practices now has that as part of his estate, he dies, and he leaves them over, bequeaths them to his sons, the sons who inherited this usury are not required to return it to the borrowers, that the wicked will prepare and the righteous will don the garment. That's explained in the Brice on the Tosefta, that the sons who inherit the interest do not need to give it back to the borrowers. Adkan sulo, until this point and not further. Bitmir, this is a question. Kolshkein, all the more so. The ribis derabanan in a benchay lachzer, if it's applicable in the first part, which is daraisa, all the more so, the son who inherits rabbinic prohibition of ribis should not be required to return it. Afilo adkan, the ribis daraisa, it is applicable by ribis daraisa. Yochin ha'av shehu rasha, the father prepares, and he is wicked, he's the one who's engaging in charging interest, v'yomos, and he dies, lo yena ben shut tzadik, v'lo yena, and the father will not benefit from it, v'ben shut tzadik, and the son, who is righteous, who did not engage in the charge of interest, he's not required to return it to the borrower, and he will don the garment that was prepared by his wicked father, and the father won't benefit from his illegal activities, the son will benefit, the righteous son, and will not be required to return it. Adkan ribis ksutza, till this point, is ribis interest that is fixed. That's vice in the Gemara. Let's see. So, at the end of the day, we're saying that either way, the ribis that was charged by the father is, whether it's deraisa or derabanan, biblical or rabbinic, at this point, we're saying, is included in the verse, yochin rasha vilbash tadi, that the son will not be required, if he inherits it, to restore it to the victims, the borrowers. Amar Rabbi Elazar, ribis ksutza, yotze b'dayan. Rabbi Elazar says that fixed interest, the biblical prohibition, where in the loan document itself, the agreement is the borrower has to pay more than what he got from the loan, that charge of interest is yotze b'dayan. That can be extracted in court and wrested away from the lender and given back to the borrower. Avavka ribis ena yotz b'dayanan. But the dust of ribis, the rabbinic forms of ribis, which is not delineated in the original agreement, so that is not given back in court. It is not restored to the victim in court. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Rabbi Ksutza Nami Enes Vadayan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says, even the biblical prohibition of ribbis, when it's been violated, it's fixed, and nonetheless comes to court. Rabbi Yochanan says it does not go back. The court will not take it away from the lender, give it back to the borrower, the interest charge. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my time at Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak says, what is the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan? Why does he say against Rabbi Elazar? He says that either way, it doesn't go back to Amakra, because the verse states, "Benasher titen tarbis lokach," that in interest and in a bite it was given, and the increase it was taken. And he shall surely not live. As called to Eves Ela Asa, all of these abominations he has performed. Lemisa nitan velo leshava. So this verse, very sharp verse in Yechezkel, indicates that he is given over. It says, V'chai lo yicha, and he shall certainly not live. It sounds like he's given over to death. And if he's given over to death, that's not a capital offense in the court of man. But if, in the hands of heaven, the prophet Yechezkel is saying that he is chai lo yicha, he will certainly not live, so he's given over to death. So lemisa nitan velo leshava. If he's subject to death, he's not subject to a requirement to give it back. It's kim le'rabin, that's what it sounds like on some level. Even though we don't pass in that way, but we don't pass in that way here either. Rav Ada bar Avo Omar, meaning by Koris, we don't say that. So too, Mitzvah Deshamayim. Rav Ada bar Avo Omar, Omar Kra, Rav Ada bar Avo said that the verse states, Al tikach mi'ito neshech v'tarbitz, reis me'lo'echo. Do not take from him the interest charge, and you shall fear God. You shall fear from your God. Lemor nitan. This is given over to fearing God. Lule shavan. If he would need to pay back the interest charge in court, so that doesn't require fearing God. He's going to have it extracted from him in court. The fact that the Torah says, even though there is no consequence in the earthly court. Rava Amar, Rava says he derived it from the verse itself, the implication of the verse. Mos yumos, damabo, he shall surely die, his blood is upon him. Yeah. Bo yeah, his blood will be upon him. Hukshu, malvi ribis l'shochei damim. There's a hekish, a juxtaposition, for those who lend at interest to those who spill blood. Ma shochei damim, lo nitn l'shavan. Just as those who spill blood, there's no recompense, there's no payment. Af malvi ribis lo nitn l'shavan. So too, those who lend out with interest, that interest charge is not to be returned. That's again Rabbi Yochanan. Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, my time of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is the one who disagrees. He says ribis ktsutsa is yotzvi dayanim. The biblical ribis is restored in court to the victim. So where is he deriving that from? To Amar Kra, as the verse states, v'chai achicha imo, v'chai achicha imo. Pasuk says in Vayikra, the conclusion of the verse, and your brother shall live with you. So return it to him. The living with you is by returning that which you took from him. That's Rabbi Elazar. It says, Ribis Ksusa, give it back. Let's see, Rashi, back on Tzamech Aleph and Beis. The conclusion of the verse is, he shall surely die, his blood shall be upon him. Megufi dekra, from the verse itself, b'neshech nason yecheskel nafkolei behedya midiksiv dam of bo yiyeh hukshu l'shofech dam. The juxtaposition puts together the spilling of blood with charging of ribisk, as if to say the blood that he has spilled kisha'on heni eschaver, when he made his brother, his friend, poor umeis barav, and because he was destitute, he died in hunger, I love Yeshuvah. It will be brought back upon it, and your brother shall live with you. Reish Nekra, at the beginning of the verse, as we saw, the Ribiskoi is talking about interest. Al tikach mito, do not take from him. Rabbi Yochanan, what is Rabbi Yochanan who says that there is no restitution of Ribis, even by Ribis Ktsutsa? Hi, v'chei achicha imach, my avilei. What does he do with the conclusion of the verse? And your brother shall live with you. M'boilei l'kedetanya. He uses it in accordance with what was taught in Ebraisa. Shnaim shayim ahalchem ederech, two, they were going on the road, ubiyarech mehen, kiton shalmayin, and one of these two wayfarers had a canteen of water. If they drink it and divide it equally, they're both going to die. There's not enough water to get them through this point of their travel. And if one of them drinks it, the one who owns the water, he will arrive back to civilization. He'll be able to get more water, replenish, and survive. Ben Patura said better that they should split the water and both die, and the one who owns the water should not see the death of his friend until Rabbi Kiva came. And he learned from this verse, and your brother shall live with you. Your life takes precedent and comes before the life of your friend. So, according to Rabbi Kiva, not like Ben Patura, the drasha, and your brother shall live with you, your life comes first. Rabbi Yochanan says that's what he does with the verse. He learns this drasha like Rabbi Kiva, not like Ben Patura, that although there's an obligation to save your friend's life, saving your own life comes first, and we will not say that they should split the water and both die and not see his friend's death in violation of Losama Damriacha. The din of Chayecha Kodmin overrides that. Rashi, Imishtu Shneim Yemus, if they drink it, if they both drink the water, they'll die, Bitsama, and thirst. She'ein Maspik Shneim, there's not enough water to get them both through this particular journey. If one of them drinks, he will arrive and survive back to civilization. And he'll find more water. Imach, with you. Chayecha Kodmin, your life comes first. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan does with this part of the pasuk, and he does not derive a chiyuv, tashlum, an obligation to pay back the ribbis.